Good morning. In the headlines, the worst of the high winds and snow appear to have diminished in western Alaska. The National Weather Service expected storm surges from this week's storm, and some of those storm surges were expected to cause flooding in some areas. Nome experienced some minor flooding, and some structures sustained some wind damage. This is National Weather Service meteorologist Jerry Steiger in Nome.
It wasn't probably quite to the magnitude that we were expecting.
Elsewhere in the region, Stebbins saw ocean levels rise over 5 feet in 90 minutes yesterday, creating widespread flooding in that community. Stebbins school principal Gerald Pickner said the winds, though, were the biggest issue.
We still have a significant wind driving, and it's coming directly from the southwest now, which is our worst-case scenario for us because it drives it right straight to us.
In Gamble, school employee Delma Apasanak says residents took shelter in the school.
Every room has a person in it, and there is a lot of room. There's people sleeping in the foyer, in the commons, in the gym, in the hallways, in the classrooms, maybe close to 100.
The Alaska Village Electric Cooperative reported few outages after Tuesday night's storm. Mira Kohler is the president and CEO of AVIC, and she says there is a power outage in Tunanik.
There we have one feeder that's tripped. There's a blown cutout on that feeder, and we figure there's about 40 homes that are out of power there.
Kohler says a lineman is in the community, and she expects power to be restored by this morning. Kohler says high winds and driving snow are more problematic than Waze for AVIC customers, so she thinks they're probably going to be okay. Elsewhere, the crew of the Coast Guard cutter Sherman is helping the 140-foot catcher processor Rebecca Irene back to Unalaska. The fishing vessel had to weather the storm without power in one engine. 20 of its 34 crew members evacuated to the Sherman as a precaution. Forecasters had predicted 55-mile-an-hour winds and 35-foot seas near the vessel's location in Unimak Pass, but Coast Guard Petty Officer Sarah Francis says conditions weren't nearly that bad.
The worst weather they saw was 30-mile-per-hour winds, 6-foot seas, and 17-foot swells.
A tug operated by Magone Marine arrived on scene yesterday and hooked up a tow line to the Rebecca Irene. All three vessels are making their way to Unalaska, and they are expected in port sometime tonight. Meanwhile, thousands of miles away, while all this is going on in western Alaska, students at Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka work to reach family members back home. And Ed Ronco has more on that story.
Lunchtime at Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka, where students are shooting hoops in the gym. The state-run boarding school is home to hundreds of students from all over Alaska, including many from communities along the state's west coast. For them, the last day has consisted of phone calls home, trying to get any word they can from relatives in the storm's path. A group of students gathers in the entryway of the gym, and I ask them to raise their hands if they've spoken to anyone back home in the last 24 hours. Most of the hands go up. Michelle Swokus does not.
I'm trying to get a hold of like my mom and my brothers, but the cell phones and the home phones aren't working, and I'm really worried about my family and my dog.
Swoku is a senior at Edgecombe. She comes from Gamble on the northwest tip of St. Lawrence Island. She might be one of the few who hasn't been able to reach home yet, but even among those who have, the updates have been sporadic. And that's difficult when you're far away, says senior Evelyn Komanasiak from Teller.
It's kind of scary not knowing what's happening, really, just because we're so far away from home. Like, you don't know if everyone at home was safe just because of, like, the lack of communication and all that.
Komanasiak says she has reached family back home.
It was, like, really windy, and they all had to evacuate to a new site, and that's, like, more houses 2 miles north of Teller, south of Teller, and yeah, I haven't gotten anything else.
Senior Janice Holm-Kinkow is from Koyak, a community of about 300 people at the north end of Norton Bay, between Unalakleet and Nome.
I just got off the phone with my dad, and he said it flooded badly, and the caches went down where they hang dried fish. They all went down.
She says it was just good to hear voices from home.
Yes, I was so worried last night. I called my dad, and I made sure that all my siblings were home, and he was like, okay, you don't have to worry, and they were all fine in the morning.
The students tell me that Facebook has been more reliable than the phone in many cases, and their feelings are mixed on being so far away from home. Some said it was difficult not to be with family right now, but others said they were glad they missed it. All of them, though, including freshman Danny Merkuliev from St. George Island, say it's been important to have other Western Alaskans at school with them.
You get a better understanding, and you have people supporting you while you're worried, and they know what you're going through.
Edgecombe's academic principal, Bernie Gurley, says the school has relaxed its cell phone policy. If students get calls during class, they're allowed to step into the hallway and answer, and those who don't have cell phones can use school phones if they need to reach home. Gurley says the students are taking things in stride, but also that the mood at school has definitely changed.
I wouldn't call it an anxiety. I really wouldn't go that far. But there's kind of a little bit more excitement in there. They're anxious to hear about what's happening at home, and they're anxious to share that with other people, too.
Gurley says he's been impressed at their ability to keep in touch with friends and family on the other side of the state.
I think a few years ago, it might be a little bit different. If not everybody had a cell phone, if not everybody could get on Facebook or whatever the case may be, but there's a lot of communication going on right now, and that's probably the best that can happen right now.
With so many students from all over the state, almost any major event in Alaska is bound to resonate here. Gurley says this might be the first one that's impacted so many students at the same time. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
And the state of Alaska's Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development is making 3 phone bank lines available to elders and their family members today for Elder Investment and Financial Exploitation National Call-In Day. Mark Kelsey with the Department of Commerce says experts will be available on the other end of the phone to answer questions on finances, health, and abuse.
Part of what we do here in commerce is a consumer protection role, and certainly our Division of Banking and Securities, which has partnered with the AARP on this event, is at the front lines of that. Elder fraud is on the rise, and seniors are the fastest growing demographic in Alaska. So this is really a good opportunity for people to find out more about these things.
It's estimated that 1 out of every 5 Americans over the age of 65 has been victimized by a financial swindle of some sort. Of particular concern are seniors with mild cognitive impairment. Ann Sechrist is Director of Communications for AARP Alaska.
Older Americans, older Alaskans, if they found that they have been swindled. Very often it's by a family member, and consequently they may be quite fearful to speak up, especially if there's mild cognitive impairment. A lot of them get confused. Oh, did I write that check? Did I pay that bill?
Sechrist says seniors who find themselves in such a situation should call the phone bank lines, and in Alaska they'll be open until 2 o'clock today. For general finance questions, call 1-888-227-1776. For health questions, you can call 1-888-303-0430. And for financial abuse questions, you can call 1-888-303-3297. You can also visit online at www.investorprotection.org to learn more. And if you those numbers and that address went a little bit too fast for you, we'll post those online on our website at ktoonews.org in just a few moments so that you can reference those if you want to give a call to those phone lines this morning. Weather forecast for the capital city calls for some cloudy skies and a possibility of a little bit of snow mixed in with some rain this morning, and then just plain rain all this afternoon with high temperature about 39 degrees and some rain tonight and pretty much rain this weekend as well with temperatures between 33 and 40 degrees. Currently at the Juneau Airport this hour, 33 degrees. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour.